I'm titling this A Jet Tour Through the Book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ by John on Patmos. And he says he had a vision on the Lord's Day, and the Lord gave him some things of things to of the future. And we read in chapter 1, if you take your Bible, in verse 3, it says, "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, keep those things which are written, for the time is at hand." And 22 verse 14, we go to the back, it says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city." So it's hearing and doing. John is exhorting us. So on this Sunday, he had the vision of Christ in this glorified state. This is the same John that spent 3 years with our Lord, intimately with Jesus, intimately with him. He was the one who lay on Jesus' breast at the dinner. He was a close associate, and now we have a different view. If we don't have the book of Revelation, we don't have this other image of who. We have glimpses of it, but John is given a special revelation to us as a church to reveal, give some more of who he is. He's the great Alpha and Omega, the seven stars. So in chapter 1, it's just when John is taken up, he hears the voice saying in verse 8, "I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." And he goes on to say in verse 10, "I heard a great voice saying," again, "I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." Verse 13, "One like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about his paps or chest with a golden girdle. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet were like fire unto brass." And then the seven stars, which were the seven spirits. So we have this image of this, not the Jesus that they saw on earth, not the Jesus on the cross, even the risen Christ, but a glorified Christ he has an image of. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, and I'm not going to go into details in the next few minutes here, but these are letters to the seven churches, warnings, commendations. Some people have different interpretations of how they read these verses. Some have them as church ages. I personally don't see that church. I think you have to do a little gymnastics with the verses and the churches, but some do that. I think it just represents actual churches, actual people, and you can see yourself and you can see actual churches that have fit into these seven churches in John's writing to and commending some of them. Most of them he's correcting, he's giving correction to. Chapter 3, verse 15, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth." John's writing to the church saying, "Are you lukewarm? I'm going to spit you out." Chapter 4, we suddenly see a vision of God's throne in heaven. He starts in verse 1. "After this I looked and beheld, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was it were a trumpet talking with me, which I said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." He's getting a vision. And then he said, "I was in the Spirit," in verse 2, "and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." And he goes on to describe. In verse 5, he talks about the seven spirits of God that are before the throne. Chapter 5, 1 and 2, "And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, and the backside sealed with seven seals, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals? And no man in heaven or earth was able to open the book and to look. And John wept," it says in verse 4, "because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to even look at what was inside. And one of the elders said to me, don't weep, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And then, verse 6, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts stood a lamb. So we have the image of the lion, we have an image of the lamb. And who is this? And then he takes it and starts to unravel chapter 5 as he sees it in his vision of heaven, the seven seals. And only one was worthy. Only one was worthy to open the book. And what happens in verse 9? They sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy. So you have the angels all in heaven saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals, for Thou was slain. Thou hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. So you have this image of a terrible vision of what's to come. Chapter 6, we start seeing some of the seven seals, who is worthy to open the title deed of the earth. So maybe you could think of these seals, of this scroll, as the title deed for the earth, and who can redeem it. We're talking about redemption. We think of Revelation with the woes, but from our perspective, it's who is going to redeem the world. There's only one that can and did redeem the one. Only one is worthy. And he starts to open the seals in chapter 6. The white seal, verse 1 and 2. It's not the Antichrist, but a false world power, we'll call it, verses that on him a bow and a crown given to him, he went forth conquering it, opened it. So we're not sure what this false world peace was, this white horse. The second seal was red, symbolizing to me war. The third in verse 5 and 6 was black, I think illustrating famine. 7 and 8 verses was a pale or death was one of the seals. Verse 9 to 11, divine judgment, the prayers of God's saints, and saying, how long? How long, in verse 10? And they cried, how long, O Lord, holy, and dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So you have the martyrs surrounding the judgment, or the seat, the throne, saying, Lord, how long is this going to go on for? Verses 12 and 13, there's a darkness over the cosmos. Earthquakes, stars are falling. Chapter 7 is perhaps parenthetical. It's a section between the sixth and the seventh seal, and it answers the questions, who shall stand? So when you're reading chapter 7, it's trying to answer verses 1, it says, after these things I saw four angels standing, and the wind, and I saw another angel coming from the east. And it's from the tribes of the Jewish evangelists, 9 to 11, in the verses there, it says, the martyrs, salvation, a great multitude in verse 9, it says, which no man could number, all nations, kindreds, and people, stood before the Lamb, clothed in white, and with palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb. And they're worshiping the Lord. So you have this great multitude before the throne. And verse 14 of chapter 7, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, and he said to me, there are they which came out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So these are the folk who came out of the great tribulation. Verse 17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into a living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Chapter 8, the seventh seal, the great plagues. This is the last seal. It's encompassing all of God's wrath now. And in verse 1, when they opened that last seal, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for a half an hour, 30 minutes silent. You had all this rejoicing before. Who is worthy? Worthy is the Lamb. In chapter 8, verse 1, silence in heaven. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them which were given seven trumpets. The seven trumpets. And so you have part of this seventh seal, you have seven trumpets now. And in verse 7, you have the first angel, hail, fire, blood in the land. And in verse 8, the second trumpet, the great mountain is thrown into the sea, a third of the sea, a third of the ships destroyed. The third trumpet in verse 10, a meteor, a third of the fresh water turns to wormwood, it says. The fourth trumpet, darkness in heaven in verse 12. Verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. Three woes to the inhabitants of the earth by the reason of the other voices of the trumpet, of the three angels which are yet to sound. Chapter 9, fifth trumpet, verses 1 to 12, woe number 1. Now we have the seven trumpets. In the middle of the trumpets, we have the woes. It's a bit confusing, but you see this pit unlocked in verses 1 to 12. This star was an angel, it says, we believe it's Satan, demons like scorpions, for 5 months. And their last opportunity to repent and believe. Verses 13 to 14, it says, and the sixth angel sounded and heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. So it's a loosing. The second woe in verses is that there's an army of 200 million? I've got that number. I don't see it right there. Is it on the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, that's 200 million, were released. Still, no, what's the reaction? No repentance. Chapter 10. Before the seventh trumpet is the two witnesses appear on the scene. This is in verses 1 to 11. There's many interpretations of who these two witnesses are, but there's two witnesses on the earth. And then in chapter 7, chapter 11, sorry, the seventh trumpet and the third woe. Chapter 12. Who shall rule? Is it Satan versus God? And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head crowned with 12 stars, and she being with child crawled travailing into earth. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. This battle going on. Has it happened? Is it about to happen? Is it a picture of what's happened or what's going to happen? I don't have all the answers. But this picture of this battle between God and Satan is shown. Chapter 13, we see verses that describe the Antichrist. The word Antichrist, those against Christ, there are, the spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. It has been. People believe Hitler was the Antichrist or the Pope was the Antichrist. We pick out pictures. I think the Bible says there will be someone, the spirit of Antichrist, whatever it is, it's going to appear one day. His number, the number of man, the 666, how is that going to be shown? That's in verse 18 of chapter 13. He says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. 666 is the number of man.
Well, Mr. Trump this week made the statement that he is the chosen one.
Yes, yes. Well,
isn't that extraordinary?
Well, the person who comes in terms of will be proclaiming peace. So whoever comes will be proclaiming peace. Chapter 14, the tribulation is the announcement. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount of Sion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Chapter 15, it's the seventh vial and the bowl judgments it describes. I won't go into the details here, just because it's part of the wrath of God. Verse 1, I saw another sign in heaven, a great and marvelous seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. So you have a gospel message today that God's love, He loves you and cares for you and wishes the best for you. And yet, which is, God is love, God is light, God. But the whole gospel is God is wrath. God hates sin so much, and He's going to pour His wrath and anger out on sin. And this is what Revelation, John, is showing us in these verses in chapter 15 as God reveals the wrath of God. Chapter 16, we see with all this wrath of God, all these things happening. Verse 9, 11 to 16, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which has power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. Verse 11, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. All these things happening, they didn't repent. Chapter 17, it talks about the mystery of Babylon. In verse 5, the mother of harlots. Many people talk about who they think that is, the scarlet woman. Chapter 18, the destruction of Babylon, the downfall of this Babylon. And then we come to the end of the book as we go through. Chapter 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Verse 11, we read, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And that he sat, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and Righteousness. He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He's clothed in a vesture dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his high name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Chapter 20, Satan's final overthrow. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then verse 11, I saw a great white throne on, and him that sat on the throne, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And then we have the final judgment in verse 12. And I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is called the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And then it talks about the sea giving up their dead. Chapter 21, we have our new heaven, our new earth that God. Verse 1, I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. All that happened in these verses, the woes, the trumpets, the vials, it's gone. It's gone. I saw a new heaven. And I, John, verse 2, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And a great voice in verse 3 of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, which is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6, he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. And I will give unto him that is which is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And then the last chapter, we see the tree of life. It's a last invitation. Verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water, clear and crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst, there was a tree. No more curse. The throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. His name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night or day. They don't need that there, because he's the light. And he ends with a final invitation in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And that's John. And he ends it by saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus.